Welcome to GoToGal, episode number 132. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and you might be wondering why today's episode is a little bit different than our typical episodes. If you caught the title, if you didn't catch the title, you're like, what is this podcast about? Why is it different? So typically here on GoToGal, we talk about business strategy and marketing and mindset. We don't typically talk about health. Maybe that should change. We don't typically talk about health, and we have definitely not on this podcast, on the GoToGal podcast, talked about periods before. Now, I say definitely not on this podcast because I have actually, way back in the day, I'm having flashbacks to my first time interviewing Kathleen Shannon back in 2016, and she brought up periods. I don't even remember. I blacked out on what I said because I had such a massive vulnerability hangover, as Brene Brown would say. And Kathleen just brought up all these things that made me uncomfortable, and it was such a great conversation. But it's funny that, gosh, 4.5 years later, it still stuck with me of like, oh yeah, I've definitely talked about periods on a podcast before. It was a very long time ago, and it's still with me. That said, I wanted to bring today's guest on because this isn't just talking about periods. Listen, this is the GoToGal podcast, and whether you are wanting to start a business as a go-to gal, or whether you are running a 7-figure empire as a go-to gal with a full team behind you, we're the go-to gals. And guys, although guys, sorry, this is not, I love our go-to gal guys. Thank you for listening this episode. If you don't have a period, this may not be for you. I will say, we talk about things throughout, but the first half of our conversation, we actually talk about Nicole's business because I love that she's the go-to gal for periods. How amazing is that? So I was really curious how that came to be and what her journey was to get there. And I know you're going to get so much out of that part of the conversation too, but I brought her on to talk about the period stuff, to talk about how that relates to us and our business. Now, this is something I started learning about maybe 6 months ago and implementing in my business, or implementing in my life, which carries over into my business, right? And I'm going to say like little doses, right? Like I just did like maybe the bare minimum you could do with like you learn a little, you implement a little. And even that has made such a big difference and has just opened up this world of opportunity for me. And I'll tell you a quick one of the, which we get into it during our conversation, so I don't want to give too much away, but just a funny side note here. So like 3 days ago, my husband's looking at the calendar and he's like, why is there like a snowman and some snowflakes on the calendar next week? I'm like, Monday and Tuesdays, like look at this, like why do all these days have a snowman and snowflakes on them? And I'm just like burst out laughing. And he's like, what? And so we have this thing in our house where I like it cold. I don't think he doesn't like it cold. I just think he doesn't like to spend a lot of money. Our gas and electric bill gets a little crazy. And I'm home and I don't like to be hot. And so I put it at 72, which honestly, I would really like it lower than that, but I feel like that's the compromise. I don't think he thinks that's the compromise, but that's a conversation for another day. So that said, he's like, are you planning to like really drop the air conditioning those days? Is it supposed to be hot? And this is like, I'm like, how does your mind go there? How do you see a snowman on the calendar in August and you think that I'm going to like, I don't know, drop down the AC that day? And I'm like premeditated air conditioning. So I'm like, do I tell you this now? Do I let it come out in conversation? I'm going to let it come out in conversation. This relates to my period. You're going to hear why I put that on the calendar. When Nicole and I get to that part of the conversation, you don't have to listen to it twice, but I mentioned that I'm going to start implementing it in there. And I thought you would find it funny that I did start implementing and putting different parts of my cycle on my calendar and using fun emojis to do it. And that has just been fun. And apparently also now bringing my husband in on the conversation. So even better. All right. So where was I going with all of this? Today's conversation with Nicole, as I said in the beginning, we're going to talk about her business and her journey to becoming the go-to gal for periods. But then we get into the health side of things and how hormones affect us and how we can be taking care of ourselves and tracking things in different ways to take care of our body in the way that it needs to be taken care of throughout each cycle of our period, throughout our whole cycle. I don't even know the correct way to say things, but like, is that even the right way? We're just going to go with it. Nicole's going to correct me. But the idea here is that when we are the business, even if we have a team, when we're that go-to gal, when we feel our best, doing certain things is easy. When we're in a certain kind of mood, doing certain kinds of things feels easy. Needless to say, this has been a topic that has really opened up a whole new world to me and something I want to continue to learn about. And the more I implement and learn, I realize how much it actually does relate to my business and how I am showing up in the world. Really, this whole pandemic experience has just solidified for me how much our mental health and our physical health affect our business. Of course it does, right? And while we're staying true to our theme here on Go-To Gal, you can't be that go-to gal while ignoring all of this. And that's really what I've been leaning into. And I'm excited to bring you into that conversation too. So let me formally introduce you to our guest today. Nicole Jardim is a certified women's health coach, writer, speaker, mentor, and the creator of Fix Your Period, a series of programs that empower women to reclaim their hormone health using a method that combines both evidence-based information with simplicity and sass. Oh, I love it. Her work has impacted the lives of tens of thousands of women around the world in effectively addressing a wide variety of period problems, including PMS, irregular periods, PCOS, painful and heavy periods, missing periods, and many more. Rather than treating problems or symptoms, Nicole treats women by addressing the root cause of what's really going on in their bodies and minds. She passionately believes that the fundamentals to healing any hormonal imbalance lie in an approach that addresses the unique physiology of every woman. This is essential to reclaiming and maintaining optimal health and vitality at any age. Nicole is the author of Fix Your Period, 6 Weeks to Banish Bloating, Conquer Cramps, Manage Moodiness, and Ignite Lasting Hormone Balance, and the co-author of The Happy Balance, a recipe book filled with over 80 hormone balancing recipes. Finally, she is the co-host of The Period Party, a top-rated podcast on iTunes. I was going to say right here on iTunes, but you may or may not be listening on iTunes. Now, be sure to tune in if you do want to learn more about how to fix your period. All right. Are you excited? I'm excited. Maybe slightly uncomfortable, mostly excited. Let's dive on in. Here's my conversation with Nicole. Nicole, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Jacqueline, thank you so much for having me. I'm so pumped to be on this podcast with you.
Yes. Okay. Before we get into you and all of the amazingness you're up to now, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
You know, when I saw that question, I had to think for a minute and I had a bit of a laugh because I remember being kind of bossy. I had a younger sister. I definitely bossed her around. And to this day, she still talks about it. But I remember that kids would come to me, other friends would come to me as I was getting older because I had a lot of health issues growing up. And so I was constantly researching. And so as a younger sort of teenager, and then as I got later into my teen years, I felt like I was the go-to gal for natural remedies. Go figure.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes things are totally out of the blue. Sometimes they connect, but this is just like the perfect segue to what you do now. So, okay. So fast forward then and tell us, what is it that you do and who do you help?
Yes. Fast forward to my adult life. I am a certified women's health coach. My focus is on periods, the menstrual cycle, and the problems that come with those. And for me, my work stemmed from my own experiences as a teenager. I had the worst periods ever. super heavy, pain that made me see stars, you know, fun things like that, super irregular. And this went on for many years. And my mom just thought it was normal because she'd experienced that as well. So it just was one of those things that defined my teenage years for the most part. And then I finally saw her gynecologist and she immediately put me on the pill, which was amazing in that moment because I had had so many problems and I was so pumped to be on the pill. And that came with a whole slew of side effects that were seemingly unrelated, actually, or unrelated to each other, because I had hair loss and then I had skin problems and I had gut health issues. And, you know, I just, it was on and on and on. Joint pain, the list goes on. And so from there, I went through many different doctors. I saw all kinds of specialists to figure out the gut health and the hair loss and the skin problems and all the things, as you know, right? We go to different doctors for different problems. And I remember there came a point where I developed an allergy to a UTI medication because I also had chronic UTIs, of course, just to add insult to injury. And I ended up in the ER and I had a crazy fever. I was bright red. And I remember thinking there has to be another way. I cannot live like this anymore. And so it ended up that I had a friend in college who was seeing an acupuncturist and she was just like, you need to go see my acupuncturist. And I thought, okay, fine. What do I have to lose? And he was the person who completely changed the trajectory of my life. And that was when I realized that I had to get off the pill. I had to clean up my diet. I had to address the stress in my life because I was not at all. I had to start working out in a way that made sense for my hormones and my cycle. And so there were all of these huge revelations that came over those years. And that was what led me to do this work. And so here I am.
Wow. Oh my goodness. And thank you for taking us back there. I actually relate to a lot of this. As you're talking, I'm wondering, how many other women go through something like this, right? I look back when I think about all the times that I missed school in middle school and high school, it was almost always because of my period. Almost always. Yes. I'm a very healthy person. Knock on all the wood right now. Oh, but I really do have a good immune system, but yeah, absolutely. I ended up in the ER with ovarian cysts in sixth grade and like just so embarrassing and all of these things. And so as you're talking, I'm like, gosh, it's like the unspoken stuff of periods that one, I love that we're having this conversation, but just part of womanhood that just is not discussed and how it impacts school and business and jobs and all of that. So did you have another job as you kind of graduated college and were on this journey with your health? I'm just curious if there was something like totally out of the blue you were also doing, or were you always in the field of health?
No, I was the most unlikely period girl. This was not in my trajectory at all. And yet here I am. I was studying film production. At 14, I had decided that, I think I read an article in Marie Claire about some woman who had changed I think she'd gone to school for like law or something like that and decided she wanted to be in film production. And I thought, wow, that looks so cool. I want to do that too. So I studied TV production and digital media in school. I got into that work freelance when I got out of college. That was where I was going. That was the dream. And I did it for 7 years. So I literally transitioned out of TV and film production into women's health. It was crazy because I had no background whatsoever. I had to study to be a health coach. And then I did a lot of training after that in order to get to the point where I actually felt even comfortable talking about hormones.
Let's go there for a second. Well, I did bring you on because I think talking about our periods and thinking about that as personal brands, as go-to gals is so important. I also love that you are the go-to gal for periods and hearing your journey. And one, I'm not at all surprised that you became that because I imagine you were already the go-to gal within your friend group if anyone had any issues with birth control or periods, right? Because you had so much personal experience. But taking that shift of leaving this industry that you were excited about and had education in and all of that to go this other route, what did that look like? I'd love to know any, you know, whether it was the mindset side of the journey or some of those steps, but taking that leap away, and whether it's someone who's starting, leaving a career like you were at the time and starting a business fresh, or sometimes we start businesses and then there's this other thing in our life that's just so big and pulls us in that other direction. But sometimes that not having the education holds us back. So I know you're a mirror right now for so many, and I'd love for you just to share a little bit of that transition.
I'm so happy you asked me this question. It's been a while since I've really thought about it, but I remember the switch happening, or the shift happening, I should say. And it was when I was working on a big commercial. You know, these kinds of things were my dream. I worked on commercials with Tiger Woods, and I did the Video Music Awards for MTV and Faith Hill Monday Night Football commercials, tons of really cool big things. And I remember I was working on some big commercial. I can't remember who it was with, but I'm sitting there. I'm supposed to be working on the pre-production book that everyone's going to be using to plan the whole commercial. And I'm busy typing a blog up on something. I can't even remember what it was at this point, but it was so many years ago. It was a decade ago at this point, but I was typing a blog up, and my producer walked behind me and she looked at my computer screen and she was pissed. And I remember thinking, oh my God, oh my God. And I was able to just sort of cover it up and whatever, it was no big deal. But I remember in that moment thinking, oh my gosh, I have got to get out of film production because I cannot even focus on this work that I'm being paid to do right now. And that was really the catalyst, I think, for me to finally shift out of it. But because I worked freelance, I was able to work a little bit in film production and then do work on my business on the side at nights and on the weekends and things like that, and then take weeks off here and there. So ultimately, that I think was where I decided to move towards really doing this. But I remember being completely terrified. I didn't know anyone in this industry. I really didn't have a lot of background. Like I was saying, I was newly minted health coach, and I really didn't know anything about business either. But I just remember in the beginning, I would constantly be going to health fairs and healthy living events in New York, which is where I was living at the time. So it was just this constant putting myself out there, and every single day I just did a little thing towards it. And eventually things started to fall into place. But more than anything, for me, it was about consistently showing up, even though I had no idea what the heck I was doing. And I was also scared. I'm terrified. It was just consistently showing up. I think that that's really what it comes down to for most of us.
It's so true. It's so true. It seems so simple, but it's so easy not to. It's that discipline of the consistently showing up. Yeah, it really, yes.
I was going to say too, and it's so terrifying. I feel like we're all paralyzed by fear when we're embarking on something new and completely unknown. And I also remember thinking too, who am I to be doing this? This is crazy. But I had thoughts on this. I had my own experience, and I just kept sharing my own experience. And that really resonated with people over the years.
And as just as you sharing your experience today resonated with me, I can see all of these parallels and how things happen. Oh, okay. So you take that leap, you dive in, and now you're the go-to gal for periods. So I love the evolution of all of this.
I can't believe it. Still sometimes I'm like, wait, you bought my book? Thanks. That's amazing. I really, sometimes I just have to pinch myself because it is one of these things that you work really hard for this. And I really honor the women entrepreneurs, because it is hard and you have to just keep showing up and just keep being authentic, and it really does pay off. I would never in a million years have imagined I'd be here, but here I am.
Yes. Okay. So let's shift gears into talking about our periods, into talking about how that affects us as women, us as entrepreneurs and business owners. Let's start there. Because one of the things that stood out to me the most was this idea that, like, but it just, my mom thought it was normal. Like, we thought it was normal. We didn't, because it wasn't talked about. It wasn't, she had a similar experience. And I think sometimes it's easy to think that with things like, oh, that's not normal. Not everyone has that. Or maybe there are things that just are normal, but there's a better way. So what are some of the things that you see that women experience that affect them in different ways, maybe negatively impact them when it comes to their period?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that we have to suffer because of our menstrual cycles, that we are just doomed to a life of heavy periods, painful periods, missing periods, or fertility problems, PMS symptoms. These are some of the biggest complaints I hear or have heard over the last decade, and some of the biggest issues I had myself. And I really am, my goal on this planet is to shift that paradigm, because we have got to step out of this place of victimhood, of being victimized by our menstrual cycles, because we've been told that they are completely out of our control, that if you're a woman, you're basically going to suffer in some way or another, and that you need a great deal of medical intervention in order to function optimally. And I just do not buy into that story. I refuse to, because I was there. I was suffering for many years, and then I suffered for many more years after being put on the pill, which was supposedly going to be a solution for me. So I think that I need to preface all of this by saying that, that we really need to move away from that place. And when I think about the problems that we experience when, as they relate to our cycles, so much of this stems from when we're younger. And we are, you know, what we don't realize is that in puberty, just like in perimenopause, just in the differences in the beginning with puberty, your ovaries are coming online. They're starting to figure out what to do, and your endocrine system is adjusting to all of that. And that takes time. It can take up to 3 years for your cycle to regulate, to normalize when you're a teenager. And yet we're never told that. We're almost immediately just put on the pill if we have a heavy period or a painful period or extended bleeding or irregular cycles or acne. And as a result, we are almost immediately disconnected from our essence, from who we are, how our bodies function. And we don't learn that in many cases until we're in our 20s or 30s, when we start to develop problems with either the pill or we're trying to have a baby or something like that, or some other issue pops up. So it really is, I think, tremendously important for us to be learning about our cycles from the get-go, tracking our cycles, tracking our symptoms, knowing what's normal for us and what's normal for us, not what everyone else says is normal, because it can be really confusing and you're constantly just looking outside of yourself for answers and solutions when you actually have all the answers. Your body is talking to you on a regular basis, and it's telling you via symptoms what's going on. We just have to learn how to interpret those signs.
I'm so glad I asked you this. This is the whole conversation is so fascinating to me. I'm probably going to say that over and over again. but that said, okay. So one, I love that we're talking with, like, this is how we shouldn't view it. This is where things can go wrong. Let's turn that from the other angle now. So How do you look at your period? How do you wish women were looking at a period, right? Like, what's the positive of that? Of what should that mindset be? And what are some of the things, obviously with everyone, it's going to be different, but if we have come from this medicate, go on the pill, and again, I very similar, I was put on the pill very young for very similar reasons. And I went off in my 20s because I knew I didn't feel like my right person. Like, I just didn't feel like me on the pill. Yeah. I never was able to really put my finger on it in any other way than just, I didn't feel like myself. I did feel like it changed my personality. I can't put my finger on it, but there was something there. So if someone's listening and is maybe having a similar experience or having some of these negative side effects that you had, what are some other options? Clearly they're going to have to, whether it's your book or a doctor, whatever that next step is, but I'd love for you to just shed some light on what some of those other opportunities are.
For birth control or just for living in harmony with your hormones?
Maybe both, because yes. Depending on why you're on birth control, right? If you were put on to handle some of these things, what are some of the, that we can handle in other ways? But of course, well, let's keep it in that direction. I think people can figure out other ways to find birth control.
For sure. I mean, and I can make some suggestions. I think the first thing that we have to know is that birth control or the mechanism of birth control, at least hormonal birth control, generally speaking. So that's the pill, the NuvaRing, the patch, things, the implant, what they're really meant to do is turn off ovulation. And we have never been educated around the benefits of ovulation. So regular ovulation is a sign of health and fertility. Your body's ultimate goal every month is pregnancy. And so ovulation that's occurring on a consistent basis is the driver for sufficient levels of estradiol, which is your body's most potent form of estrogen, progesterone, which I call the keep calm and carry on hormone. And these are, you know, the two female key or the key female sex hormones. And then it also drives testosterone production too, because when ovulation is happening, testosterone rises, and testosterone is the key hormone that is responsible for our libido, our musculature, moods, things like that. So what we don't realize is that ovulation, when it's turned off via this hormonal birth control, ends up having these far-reaching effects. Like I was saying before, I had all of these seemingly unrelated symptoms. No one can figure them out. Well, it's because estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, these key hormones that are made in the process of ovulation. And really, that's the only time that they're made in significant amounts when we're moving through the ovulatory process. They are responsible for so many other aspects of our health. Estrogen makes sure that your heart and blood vessels are working great. Progesterone is protective of your breasts and your uterus from cancer. Both of these are essential for keeping your bones strong, your brain working optimally. Progesterone is really critical for nervous system support, reducing anxiety, reducing sleeplessness, things like that. So testosterone as well, like I said, sex drive, kind of a big deal. So all of this is, you know, all of these hormones have such far-reaching effects on a number of our body systems. And yet we are just given a pill and we turn off ovulation, and we do that for sometimes decades. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, a really big problem, because your menstrual cycle, they refer to it now as, you know, your a vital sign, right? They often refer to it as the fifth vital sign. And what that means is that it is, you know, it's basically a marker for general well-being, for underlying medical conditions, and even chronic disease states. So I consider it as an early warning sign or a system that will sound the alarm, right? It's honestly telling you what's going on if you're having problems with your cycle, and yet we don't see it that way at all. So with all of that said, the goal here is to preserve ovulation, especially if you are looking for a form of birth control. And my go-to is the fertility awareness method, the symptothermal version of that. And that just means you're taking your basal body temperature first thing upon awakening every morning, and you are observing cervical fluid changes, because that changes dramatically depending on your hormonal fluctuations, just like your mood does and your energy levels and things like that. So that's, you know, that is my preferred form of birth control. I get that it's not for everyone. However, it is something that I think everyone should be exploring, because the sort of light version of that is cycle tracking, where you're tracking all of these symptoms as they relate to your cycle, so that you can then start to live in tandem with the phases of your menstrual cycle, which I know we can talk about as they relate to business and work and things like that.
Yes. I had no idea any of that. So I'm taking copious notes mentally and literally through all of this, but it is really fascinating to see how our bodies work. And we're not taught this stuff in school or by our doctors or any of that. And I actually have read up on this topic a little bit, and I still didn't know to the depth of all of that. So I so appreciate you going there. Some of this might be, I don't know, it's more advanced, but I think it's important to understand the whys of doing things, because that just, I don't know, it helps us understand how all these things fit together. And now your story with all the different doctors is, of course, that's making more and more sense as we're peeling back the layers on all of this. So going into, okay, tracking our periods. One, is there an app that you recommend for this? And I will say too, is there an app that you recommend? And I'm putting you on the spot, so if you don't know, it's okay. Oh, no. Is there an app that doesn't talk about, fertility? I know some women maybe shy away from tracking because if they're not trying to get pregnant or if they've had issues with fertility in the past, it could just feel like this constant trigger of an app that's pointing to that. So I don't know if there is an app that maybe is less try to get pregnant focused, if you happen to know of that. But in general, is there an app that you prefer to track this? And yeah, let's start with just what does tracking look like?
Totally. I recommend an app I've been using for about a decade now called Kindara, K-I-N-D-A-R-A. And they have a choice of whether you're just tracking your cycle or you're attempting to get pregnant. So you can choose, and that's the one you'll be focused on. And so that's a great one, as well as Clue. That's another great app that I really like. And I've also used Groove as well. So those are a few. I mean, there are so many apps out there right now that people can use. So it's really up to you. I just think making sure that you're reading the privacy policy and that your data is not being sold, because that's been an issue. But making sure that the app is something that makes sense for you, the interface makes sense. And especially if you're tracking your basal temperature, that the chart that you're tracking it on makes sense too. And so when it comes to tracking your cycle, in my book, I wrote basic cycle tracking and event cycle tracking, because I feel like we're all at different levels, like you were saying. And so with basic cycle tracking, I'm essentially just asking you to pay attention to what's happening with your period. And just so everyone knows as well, if you're on hormonal birth control, I'm sorry to say this, you're not actually having a real period, because a real period is always preceded by ovulation. So if you're not ovulating, what you're having is a withdrawal bleed or a hormonal bleed. So just keep that in mind too. So there will be no hormonal fluctuations like we'll describe in this episode that happen if you're on hormonal birth control and you're not ovulating. So with that said, if you're tracking your cycle, and I think you should still track symptoms even if you're on hormonal birth control, but you're tracking your period, so when it arrives, how long it lasts for, how much you're bleeding, if you're experiencing symptoms that surround it. So are you experiencing spotting for two or more days before your period or after your period ends? Are you experiencing pain? Because if there was ever a type of pain that has been normalized, it is uterine pain. For whatever reason, pain in other parts of your body indicates something's wrong. But when your uterus hurts, nope. The doctors are like, oh, you're normal. It's fine. Send you on your way. And that's crazy. So pain that disrupts your life, if you need to take more than two ibuprofen or you have to stay home for any reason, that to me indicates that there's something deeper going on that you have to look at. And so if there is pain, you want to note how much you're experiencing, when it happens, does it happen at different times in your cycle? So these kinds of, and moods as well. Sorry, I should say moods, energy, anger, frustration, all of these symptoms or these mood changes, I think are really important to note as well. So that's what I say when we're talking about cycle tracking as a start.
Okay. No, and this is so helpful. I've been doing this. I actually use Clue. So I'm happy to hear that Clue is one of your top three. And I was surprised to see, I just been like, you know what, let me just put, as I think of things, I'm like, let me just put it in Clue. So it'll be not anything that I would think is related to my cycle, but I'll be like, I feel like I just want to cry all day today or whatever. Like, I'll just have like an overwhelming emotion. And I'm like, let me just put that in there. And then as I've gone back and looked, I've started to see patterns with this, which is very interesting and nothing that I had any clue about before. Well,
I'm so glad you're seeing patterns, because that's really what it's about. I also say to track your bowel movements too, because they definitely change with the different phases of your cycle. Oh yeah, girl.
Oh, this is so good.
I know. Period poops are definitely a real thing. So,
oh my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So we start tracking, we start looking for patterns. Before I keep going, I want to ask you something that I actually don't know how to do, and I'm sure someone else listening doesn't know either, but you mentioned the basal temperature.
Yes.
What is that? And how do we do that?
So I'm so excited
to
ask.
And when should we do that too? Is that something that I need to be doing? Is that only certain? Yes. Tell us all about it.
I love that you've asked me this, because usually women are like, Nicole, you want me to do what? But I'm a big proponent of this. I've been doing this now, gosh, for over 10 years. I feel like it's been ages. And I feel like it has been fundamentally, hands down, one of the best things I've ever done for myself. And it is actually a lot easier than we think it is. So your basal temperature is just your temperature first thing upon awakening. So it's your, you know, it's sort of like your base temperature, essentially, when you wake up. And it fluctuates depending on where you are in your cycle. So in the first half of your cycle, you'll notice lower temperatures because estrogen pretty much suppresses your temperature. Whereas at the second half of your cycle, after ovulation happens, your temperature rises. So progesterone is a thermogenic hormone. So it raises that basal body temperature. So after ovulation happens, progesterone rises and your temperature rises with it. So it's really cool to chart it on an app like Clue or Kindara, like I was saying, because they have great temperature charting an interface on there. So it's kind of cool to see it because you see the low temperatures and then you see the temperature rise. And so typically what would happen is you take your temperature first thing upon awakening before you get out of bed. You just set an alarm on your phone. It says take temperature. So you see this way to get in the habit of doing it. And your thermometer is right by your bedside. And you want a basal thermometer, which measures your temperatures in 1/100th of a degree. You can use a regular oral thermometer. It's not vaginal, although you can do that, but that's kind of a pain.
So yes,
right? I know, a lot of commitment. Not necessary. So yeah, oral temperature, first thing upon awakening, put it into your app and you will definitely start to see a pattern. And in fact, I talk about this a lot in the book as well. Like you know, there are different ways that the temperature shows up. It can tell you if you have low progesterone based on the temperatures being on the lower side. It can tell you when you're pregnant, if you have 18 days or more of high temperatures. This is a really amazing tool. It's kind of like a cool biohacking tool that I think we should all do, regardless of what's going on in your life. If you're trying to get pregnant or not, or you're just tracking your cycle, it's really helpful.
Yes. Okay. And because I just have to keep going down the rabbit hole. So if we have low progesterone, what do we do about that? And obviously that's a very open-ended question, but what are some options? Like, is there something to do about that?
Oh yes. Oh my goodness. Yes, there is. And I think what I always try to impart on everyone who I talk to is our hormones do not operate in a vacuum. Our hormones are all collectively working together. And so I often hear this a lot. Oh, Nicole, I have high estrogen, or I have low progesterone, or I have high testosterone. What do I do to fix that? And so my response usually is something along the lines of, you can definitely address those, but you have to be addressing them from the bigger picture, or from a sort of bird's eye view, I suppose you could say. So you really want to be thinking about the systems that are causing the low progesterone, because you can't really treat it unless you know the cause. And so with progesterone in particular, oftentimes stress is a huge one. So cortisol tends to dampen cortisol is crazy because what it does, it sort of dampens the hormonal conversation that's happening in your brain. And then, you know, in multiple parts of your brain and then in your ovaries and then the feedback loop, it's insane. So what happens is high stress that's totally unmitigated can totally disrupt the conversation between your brain and your ovaries, causing a disruption in ovulation. If you don't ovulate, you don't make progesterone. That little follicle that your egg comes out of, it actually turns into a temporary endocrine gland, which is insane. I mean, our bodies are incredible. And that endocrine gland produces the progesterone. And it actually would see you through the first few months of pregnancy until the placenta takes over making progesterone. So we want our ovaries to be nice and healthy. So the point here is that if it's stress that's disrupting ovulation and then progesterone is low from that, then you've got to work on the stress side of things. But your corpus luteum, which is that little follicle where the egg comes out of and it produces progesterone, is also impacted by our gut health. It's impacted by nutrient status. It's impacted by our liver's ability to detox toxins out of our bodies. So there, and our thyroid as well. So there are multiple steps that I think are involved. And so I always have people start with food, and then we work on their gut health, liver function, thyroid function, stress management, and blood sugar balancing as well, because blood sugar and insulin, another hormone, also impact your ovarian function. So there's definitely a step-by-step program I think everyone should do. At the same time, I recognize life is crazy right now, especially, and we might not have a lot of control over a lot of these things. So I say supporting your, you know, trying your best to support your stress response and doing your best to incorporate nutrient-dense foods into your diet. Those are two of the things that I would recommend more than anything to support progesterone production.
That's such a good place to start. But then if someone does want to go deeper, is this a program that you offer? Is this information in the book? Feel free to plug here, but I think it's good to know the next steps too.
Totally. Yeah. So this is my Fix Your Period program. It's what I've been doing for about 10 years now. And yes, it's available as an e-course on my site. And then also it's laid out in my book as well in a more condensed version because, you know, you know how books are. So yes, I laid it out in a 6-week protocol in the book, whereas it's a 12-week program in the actual, you know, on my website.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. I want to shift gears into talking about now that we're tracking and we're seeing these patterns and this data, and maybe there's things we should be exploring more. Maybe things are going along just fine, but it's like, so what do we do with this information? I would love for you to connect some of these dots of how we can take tracking our cycle and start thinking about our schedule in our business and, or even just in life. Are there different times of the month that are better for different things? How does this all connect to what we do?
Oh, there are. I know. It's amazing. I'm fascinated by our bodies because of the fact that everything fluctuates. In fact, I feel like we're a different woman pretty much every week of our cycle. And generally speaking, I should say this too, a normal cycle, what I consider to be a normal cycle, it runs anywhere from 25 to 35 days long. And what I found is that shorter than 25 days, women tend to have shorter luteal phases. They tend to have heavier periods, more painful periods. They tend to have fertility troubles, things like that. On the flip side, 35 days or longer, I find that that is often connected to polycystic ovary syndrome or conditions where ovulation is just not happening when it's supposed to happen in our cycle. And so things are delayed. So I think that, you know, starting with making sure that your cycle falls within that 25 to 35 day window is great. And then also knowing that an average cycle is about 29 days long, according to the studies. So somewhere within that window, you're probably just fine. But with that said, every week of our cycle, if you fall within that window, usually is different. And it's driven by what's, you know, the ovulation, which I call the star of the show. And so that first week, usually it's your menstruation week. So you're, you know, things are a little bit slower. They're a little bit more quiet, and, or at least they should be. And what I've found is that, you know, when we're getting our periods, and a normal period is somewhere between 3 and 7 days, if it's shorter or longer, that often indicates something's going on hormonally. And I ask people to look a little bit deeper and track your cycle and figure out what's going on there. But if your period is somewhere between 3 and 7 days, I consider that to be normal. And usually during that time of your cycle, I ask women to try and slow down, to try and build some kind of peace into their daily routines, peace and quiet, because of the fact that our bodies are essentially begging us to slow their roll and slow our roll. And we are oftentimes full speed ahead in a time when, if you think about it, just think about menstruation as almost like an inflammatory event. That's essentially what's happening, because progesterone has dropped down to its lowest level that it'll be. And that triggers your uterine lining to shed. And progesterone is an anti-inflammatory hormone. So we're having this inflammation essentially happen because we're releasing prostaglandins. Those are causing the cramping of the uterus, and you're losing your uterine lining. And so this is, like I said, this is kind of inflammatory. This is why we feel pain. This is why migraines happen. And the more inflamed we are, the more problematic your period will be. So again, lifestyle. But I really feel like at this time in our cycle, our bodies are just saying, okay, let's take a break and try and not schedule big events, speaking events, serious exercise or hardcore exercise. Don't do CrossFit on day 2 of your period, please. I'm begging you. I've had multiple women say to me, I do CrossFit on day 2 of my period and I have these humongous blood clots that happen, or my period just gushes. And I'm like, okay, you need to stop doing that. Your body is seriously telling you this doesn't work for you. So this is really the time where you up your self-care game, if that's possible. And you focus on getting more sleep if you can, waking up maybe a little bit later or going to bed earlier. You focus on meditation or stress reduction or stress reducing practices. And when it comes to business, I found that you're going to get so much more out of the other phases of your cycle in your business if you build in this time of rest. So that's a big part of what I think we need to talk about, because a lot of us just don't realize that, because the world is built around a male hormone cycle, which is a 24-hour cycle. Testosterone and cortisol are high in the morning, and then they slowly taper off during the day. And then we do it all over again. Our world and our businesses are not built around this 28-day menstrual cycle at all. And I think that we have to shift that in order to really utilize our cycle superpowers, so to speak.
Yes, I never thought of it in that context before, that with men, it's a 24-hour cycle.
Oh my God. I know,
all of the light bulbs here. Oh, we don't have time to go into all of that, but we're just going to let that sit. Yep. Oh, okay. So permission and encouragement to really take it easy during that time. If you are like clockwork, even to block things off on the calendar and think ahead to that. But sometimes that's hard to do if we're not regular, but to really just take it easy during that week. Okay.
But even if you are not regular, just so you know too, when you're tracking your cycle, you know your phases of your cycle. So even if you have a longer cycle or a shorter cycle, you can totally, I think make your calendar for you. And, you know, just, you can, I think you can be more focused on what's going on with your cycle versus what, you know, is supposed to be normal, so to speak.
That's a good reminder there too.
Yes.
Okay. So the week after that, so then our period ends, then what?
I know, right? So period's ending, menstruation is moving, we're moving away. So we're still in that follicular phase, but I call it the non-menstruating portion of the follicular phase. And so the goal here really is it's like spring, right? So you're coming out of that winter time, that bleeding time. And you're now, what you're noticing or what you might notice is your cervical fluid starts to change. And that's because estrogen is starting to build. So that little follicle on your ovary or the follicles on your ovaries are now making estrogen. And that's sending a signal to your brain to keep pushing forward towards ovulation. So estrogen's rising, testosterone is going to start rising as well. This boosts your energy, your brain skills, your mood, right? Rising estrogen also makes you feel more extroverted. It actually suppresses your appetite, which is always nice. A lot of women say to me they don't feel very hungry at this time in their cycle. And also too, more estrogen also means more dopamine, more serotonin, which are those feel-good neurotransmitters. And testosterone, of course, is starting to raise your libido. So this is often a time where we feel more confident, more willing to take more risks, more outgoing. We actually sometimes kind of feel like a whole new woman, especially if menstruation is a big problem for us. And, you know, we're ready to take on the world, so to speak. So when it comes to business, I think starting new projects at this time is really great, because again, this is the springtime, there's creativity, there's a lot of moving parts. So starting new projects, taking on new challenges, embracing new relationships. I think these are all, great things to do at this time in your cycle. Brainstorming, problem solving, all of these are really good strengths, and, you know, initiating new projects, making big decisions, taking on challenging assignments or goals, because I feel like at this time, our social skills are soaring. Our mental and cognitive ability is going to be peaking towards ovulation. So this is a great time to do that, as well as be social. So going to networking events, and who knows when we'll do that again, but you know what I mean? Going to networking events, social events, things of that nature too, this is the time to schedule those things.
All right. Yeah. Put some Zoom coffee chats on the calendar that week.
Exactly.
Okay. So that is week two. Is there a name for that week?
Yes. So I call it the follicular phase or the non-menstruating follicular phase. And that is going to take us into phase three or week three, which is the ovulatory phase.
All right. Okay. So what should we do during that phase?
So ovulation, it's, you know, it essentially is like a summertime, and this is a lot easier for women to remember these phases if I use the seasons. So summertime, when we think of summer, what are we doing? We're out and about. Life is amazing. And, you know, I feel like, you know, summer is irresistible for a lot of us and we just can't stay away. So we're out and about, ovulation is about to happen. So estrogen, testosterone are peaking at this point. So all of those traits that I was just mentioning are pretty much at their peak during this time of our cycle. It's a short phase, but because there's so much hormonal activity happening, you'll feel like, wow, this is a great time. Typically, that's what we feel. So oftentimes, we tend to feel more attractive. We feel more confident. Our speaking skills are at their best. I'm actually approaching ovulation, so this interview worked out really well. And
me too. Is that funny that we're like both okay. In sync for this?
I love that. I love that so much. It's very easy for us to verbalize our thoughts and feelings during this time. Our sex drive is at our peak, which is always nice too. And, you know, I find that for a lot of us, not all of us, because some of us have too much dopamine and too much serotonin and that can push us over the edge. But for, you know, more estrogen means more dopamine, like I was saying before. So there's going to be more focus, concentration, motivation. It makes achieving goals a lot easier. And, but I find that some of us tend to have too much dopamine and that can make us irritable and snappy in ovulation time. So if you don't feel amazing at ovulation, that could be why. And that requires a little bit of work, but it is possible to address that. So ultimately, yes, this is the time where, you know, you want to just be out and about. Like, do you want to ask for a raise? Do you want to raise your prices, for instance? And just in life in general, are you out and about? Are you hanging out with friends? This is a great time to be spending time with your friends and doing all the fun things, taking your kids out, all of it. So it's very much like summer in the real world, outside of the inner world.
I love the easy to remember labeling of the seasons too. I'm also picturing like, oh, this is so much easier for me to maybe like put on a calendar with like an emoji symbol of the season or something.
Totally. I know, right?
Because that's how
we're
I think.
Color-coded.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Where it might be, I don't know, with the team or even within your family, it might be odd to be like, well, this is my follicular phase.
I know, exactly, right? Totally, spring and summer.
Yes, it is way easier to grasp and remember and just visualize. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving into fall, moving into phase four.
Now that we're leaving, I mean, I think that public speaking, you know, you can play games with the family, winning arguments, all of that is great for this time of your cycle. So as we move away from all of those things and we're moving into the luteal phase is what it's referred to. This is the autumn or the moon. If you follow the moon cycle and it's, you know, closely linked to your actual cycle, this is the waning moon phase. You just come from the ovulatory or full moon phase. And, you know, what happens oftentimes is that we feel a lot of the same feelings that we've had throughout ovulation. Estrogen and testosterone start to decline. Progesterone takes over, like I was saying, because ovulation has now happened. That little follicle in your ovary is now producing progesterone. And it's a natural sleep aid. It's an anti-anxiety hormone. And what often happens, and a lot of us can relate to this because we live in the Northern Hemisphere, but you know that shift between summer and fall, it happens in the very beginning of September. The air becomes a little bit more crisp and we just know that summer is over and you're just like, well.
Yes.
Right. I know. We all know this.
And you start seeing the pumpkin spice latte advertisements way before I'm emotionally ready to go there.
Oh my God. Exactly. It's totally exactly what happens. I know. It's so true. And then you start seeing all of the gourds and the pumpkins and things in the grocery store. And you're like, wait a second. It's still hot outside. It's 85 degrees. We can't go there yet. But yes, that is kind of what happens with the ovulatory into the luteal phase. And so we notice this sort of subtle energy shift that happens, you know, like I said, similar to this fall, spring, summer to fall. And so what you'll find is that you might feel quieter and more withdrawn and maybe not as social. And what you'll find is that you start to buckle down, right? So it's kind of like going from summer to fall when school season starts again or work starts to pick back up and you start to be more hyper-focused on the thing that's happening in front of you. Whereas in summer, you're just kind of focused on all the things that are happening and that's happening in your life. So this time of your cycle, like I said, it is dominated by progesterone. Progesterone is the hormone that, like I was saying before, it kind of, you know, it just gets you thinking about working from home, which we're all doing now anyways. And you want to be starting to think about scheduling big social events, meetings, any kind of launches, any of those things for later on, you know, for the next cycle, so that you have the energy for that, to dedicate to that, versus doing it now as your energy is starting to wane and you're moving towards menstruation. Because it's very similar to pregnancy. I feel like in that last phase of pregnancy, you become like a nester, and progesterone is super high at that time in your cycle. So you're nesting, you're taking care of to-dos at home, home projects, family projects. You have a strong desire, I find, to clean, to organize, taking care of your to-do lists, bookkeeping, all of these.
I'm laughing things. Because I went early with both of my kids, and my husband feels like he missed out on the nesting phase. He's like, you never were pregnant long enough to like be in the cleaning, organizing mode. I'm like, yeah, you're right. That was the real downside of
we sorry, honey.
we missed out on that. What can we say? Oh, but yes, that nesting phase of the month, if you will.
It's so nice. It's so nice. And so this is where, you know, I know that one of the questions you'd asked originally, at least in the handout that I gotten, was something along the lines of, you know, can you take your foot off the gas of your business a little bit? And this really would be the time. Like, you're not so outwardly focused in your business, so you're more inwardly focused. So you're doing the things that are going to build your business versus what's going to build it from an external perspective, whether that's, you know, doing networking and connecting and things like that. So that's really where I think that this is a great time to focus on that. And we tend to be more singularly focused, like I was saying, so you can get a project done. It might take a little bit longer, but you'll be more focused on that one thing versus just being distracted by a lot of things.
I know we're about out of time, but I have to ask, is there a way that you take this and actually, like, I know I joked about, which I think I may actually do with the emojis on the calendar, but is there a way that you actually translate or communicate this to your team, which obviously your business maybe is different than many of our businesses, but do you have a tip or a piece of advice on, okay, like, we get it, but how do you actually make sure you're doing these things at these times of the month?
I'm so glad you asked me that. Yes, we do. I do. So I have on my Google Calendar, I've laid out my menstruation, rest of follicular, ovulatory phase, and my luteal phase. And so I typically don't book anything that requires me to actually use my brain during the menstruation phase and in the few days leading up to it, because I find that I just can't put words together properly during that time. So that's what I would say is one way to do it. And it's also in my Asana as well. So everyone in my team knows, my assistant knows, that we don't really book these interviews. We don't book anything huge on those times. Of course, real life happens. Sometimes you have to, and it makes sense. But what I would say, and what I really love, is something that I wrote about in the book, and I was talking about the U.S. women's soccer team in the World Cup. They won the World Cup because they were able to sync their exercise routines, their sleep schedules, everything with their menstrual cycle. In fact, Rose, I believe it was, who scored the winning goal, she got her period the day after she scored that goal. And so they hired an actual menstrual cycle expert to help them train in accordance with their cycles and live in accordance with them. And they feel that that played a role in them being able to win the World Cup. So I feel like if these chicks can do it, we can all do it too. And so it really does come down to tracking your cycle, paying attention to where you are in your cycle, and then putting those dates or those numbers into your calendar so that you're then able to check in with yourself on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, and see where you're at. And really know that, you know, because some days you feel like a superhero and you can take things on, and then other days you can't even pick yourself up off the floor. And knowing that it probably has something to do with your hormones is extremely helpful and really validating.
Okay, Nicole, this has been incredibly thought-provoking and eye-opening and inspiring and all the things. Thank you so much for your generosity with sharing all of this today. How can we stay in touch with you? How can we get your book? How can we follow you on social media?
Thanks, Jacqueline. It was so great to talk about this. I love talking about this stuff. And you can find me on NicoleJardim.com. That's my main website. I also have links to my book on there. If you want to purchase my book, find sellers, and get all the book bonuses, you can go to FixYourPeriod.com. It's called Fix Your Period, obviously. And I am on Instagram mostly. So it's just Instagram. My handle is Nicole M, like Mary Jardim. And I also have a podcast too called The Period Party. So tons of information on there too. I feel like there's something for everyone at this point.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so, so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much.
Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.